Thank you.
Welcome to worship at Advent at the beginning of the last week at the end of spring training. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Please join with me. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from the ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God grant you absolution and remission of all of your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Please be seated.
God reveals himself as he calls his servant Moses to deliver his people from Egypt, from evil in Egypt. God of fire and of unspeakable glory visits and charges this shepherd with the work of leading the people of God. A reading from the book of Exodus. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for this morning is on page 4 in your bulletins. It is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 11. We will read in unison. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities. He redeems your life from the grave, crowns you with mercy and loving kindness.
He satisfies you with good things, and your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed.
He made his ways known to Moses and his works to the children of Israel. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. He will not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The ways of the human heart are laid bare in the account of the Israelites in the wilderness. We all wander, but knowing their story, we are forewarned of the pitfalls and temptations of sin, and we have the ultimate leader and guide through the darkness, which is Jesus Christ. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. This passage from chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, asks the question of Jesus, are there levels of sin? And Jesus talks about that really isn't the key. Listen to this, it's fascinating. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and didn't find any. And then he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. I want you, Lord, and all our soul, you inside.
Between the services, I heard a sure sign of spring. I heard geese honking. So my advice to you is watch where you're walking. So this morning, I want to take you back to the first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, about Moses early in his life when he sees this miraculous manifestation of the burning bush. And in terms of how you interpret that, my personal conviction is that God's word is infallible in the original autograph, or is inerrant in the original autograph and infallible in everything it teaches about life and how we're to live. And so when you read about this, I believe it's just what it says it is and how it happened. And as Moses is hearing from this burning bush, he talks to God after the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. And twice he asks, who am I? Who am I to do this? And sometimes when we look at our life, the situations that we have, we can ask that question. Lord, who am I? How can I get through this? I am struggling physically. I'm struggling financially. My marriage isn't what it used to be. Lord, who am I to make it through in a good way? And that's really the kind of theme I want you to think about this morning. This was a story of a person who didn't believe he was able to do what God was calling him to do. And as I start down that road, think about an area in your life, perhaps, where you know that you're struggling. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. Father, who am I that I could live through this section, this portion of my life? When the Lord spoke to Moses, Moses was intimidated. And one of the things that I found fascinating this past week is that something I had forgotten. The burning bush episode took place near the base of Mount Sinai. And the Lord said to Moses that one of the promises that I have, that you will know that it is me, when you lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, I will bring them to this mountain. So the burning bush was adjacent to Mount Sinai. So that, to me, in itself, was a huge thing when you think of leading to about 2 million people from Egypt out of captivity to this mountain. He had fled, if you remember the story, he'd fled for his life from Egypt, and he'd been serving for about 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. He was royalty in Egypt until the end. Now he was a shepherd, and now God was saying, I want you to take off that mantle of a shepherd and become a leader of leaders. Just a powerful transformation. And if you're at all like me, there are times that you have struggled with self-confidence, with an understanding, is it possible that I can really be a witness for God in this time in my life, even when I struggle? Moses himself, when he looked at where he was, had several arguments about this outrageous assignment that God had put on him. And think about the magnitude of what he was called to do. Some of the things that you read in Exodus 3 and 4 is that he felt unqualified. Now here's the truth. Of course he was unqualified. No person could do what Moses was being commissioned to do by the Lord. It would depend upon the strength, favor, and power of God in his life. He didn't believe that his people would receive him as their leader because earlier they had rejected him when he had tried to help over 40 years ago. He also didn't think that his people would believe him that God had sent him. They remembered the God of their fathers, but that was long ago. Now they were in slavery. And so here's how you think about that. So he goes up to 2 million people and says, so I was out in the desert, and this burning bush begins to talk to me. Come follow me. It's irrational. But yet, that was the power and presence of the Lord through Moses. And here's a part of it, another aspect of why no. He wasn't a gifted speaker. He may have He may have stumbled and stuttered a bit like I do when I try to read King James English out loud. And so God overcame that by sending his brother Aaron with him to help as well. And bottom line, he didn't want to go after the trauma of Egypt. He had found a safe place, found a wife, raised a family, and served as a shepherd. So he had found a place in his life where he would not have to worry about all the struggles of living. Now, in addition, what might have caused his reluctance and his fear? From the time of Joseph, Egyptians would not even eat with Hebrews. They had to eat in separate places. When Joseph was in the palace, he had to sit at a separate table because he was a Hebrew. Secondly, when you think about it, society, even today, places a premium on appearance, on possessions, on athletic ability. Moses had worked as a shepherd for 40 years, and in Egypt, it was the most despised occupation that there was. And so here was this man now known as a shepherd, who was going to go to Pharaoh and ask for him to do something that would not be in the interest of the Egyptians. On top of that, Moses had failed in the past. He tried to help. He had tried to intervene for a Hebrew and ended up killing an Egyptian. And now God was sending him back into the very place that he had failed. Now, if you were paying attention at all at the beginning of the service when we were sharing the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and you said, "Yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore, Lord. I don't want to do this anymore." You said the same thing last week. You and I failed. That's a part of our life. It is not that we will live a perfect life. It's that by God's grace, we can overcome past failures and walk in new strength that we never thought was possible in our life. And another aspect of reluctance and fear is demonic oppression and influence in our lives. Feelings of inferiority that shackles many Christians in spite of their faith, in spite of their knowing God's word. In our thoughts and minds, we develop obstacles to trying to live for God. God, how can this possibly work out? You know how inadequate I am. You know how I failed 5 years ago when I tried to do this thing. But the Lord didn't look at what Moses hadn't done in the past. He looked at who Moses was today, and he looked at him from a Christian perspective through the Messiah. And that changes everything. And here's where I want to really focus. What Moses' story has to do with us. We are in Moses. We are like him. The same frailties, the same sense of insecurity. But he took a risk and surrendered to God in spite of the irrationality of what God was calling him to do, about going to a place where he had been defeated soundly in the past. And what happens is when we surrender our lives to the Lord, we find our value in him. We don't come with a great resume and say, "Lord, here's why I'm worthy of your favor in my life." We put that in the fireplace, and we begin to find our value in him, not in ourselves. Some things are loved because they have great value. In my home, there are things that have great value. But other things are valuable because they're loved. And that's very different. This week, I was out in the garage, and on one of the shelves, I found what I believe is my most valued possession. And it's the ball glove my father bought for me when we first came from Denmark. That the leather is cracked. It's not bendable like it used to be. It can barely hold the ball. But to me, that's a treasured possession because of the memories that are attached to it. But in itself, it has no value. But because I love it, it has great value. And it has gone with me every time we've moved. It's that important to me. Now, all of that I just said has nothing to do with our value in Christ. We are not valued for what we have, for what we do. We have value because we're loved. In Him we're loved. Knowing that God is in charge of my life, no matter what I'm facing, I can believe that He has and will make a way for me through the biggest challenge in my life, whether it's financial, whether it's physical. Obviously, some of you here are struggling with physical challenges. Don't you understand that God is greater than any physical challenge you could ever face? It's a wonderful thing. God is saying to Moses, in effect, at the burning bush, look, there are 2 million people in slavery. I've heard their cries, and I'm going to redeem them. And by my grace, I'm going to use you, not because you're great in yourself, but because I love you, I want to use you in a powerful way. And who could imagine doing what Moses did? Then bring that into our world. There are over 7.7 billion people in the world. I looked up this week that there are over 360,000 babies born every day. That's more than twice the number of people who die every day. So that's why our world continues to expand and become relatively more crowded. Most of those 7.7 million billion people don't know you, don't know me, don't care about me at all. But Father God does. And because of His love for us as one of those 7.7 billion, we have great value in Him. And He is able to use us in a world that at times seems to be falling apart or breaking apart. Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed like Moses did. What impact can I have? We're called to live as witnesses, but who's noticing? Who's looking? What impact can I really have with all of the barriers I face, with all of the challenges that I have in my own life? Moses was able to come to a place where he said, in spite of what it feels like, I'm going to trust God to get me through this. And the second thing that really applies to us that sometimes I believe we forget, I know sometimes I do, Moses had a call in his life. We have a call in our life. We are not just an incidental gathering together of cells. We were created in God's image, and He knew us before our first day on earth. It's an amazing thing to grasp. Both as a church and as individuals, we're empowered to be witnesses for God, to live with zest, not the spice, but with zest or zeal in a life that sometimes can be challenging. And I want to share with you one little example for me. Moses had failed. He'd escaped for 40 years, believing now the best part of his life was over. And God said to him, contraire, mon petit, I have another assignment for you. Since Tammy died, now a little bit over 3 years ago, I have been praying about my home. The day that Tammy died, I wanted to pack my backpack and leave that day. It was so painful to stay, but I also knew that was really foolish. And so I stayed, and virtually every day I prayed, Lord, this is your house. I know that at this stage in my life now, I don't need my own home, but I don't know what to do. And so I was praying, Lord, would you show me what to do? And last week, my brother and I were together, which wasn't unusual. And he said, I've been talking with my kids, and they have been encouraging me to suggest that you sell your house and move in with me. And I was flabbergasted, and I prayed about it overnight, and I realized this was God's answer for him, but also for me. And I said, yes. And so April 1st, my home will go in the market. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. It's where I didn't know what to do. I truly didn't know what to do. I didn't have grace to do anything. But at just the right moment, God intervened and spoke. He does that in our lives all the time if we're open and attentive. And I encourage you in the same way. You have struggles in your own life. God can use you in powerful ways if you just say, like Moses did, Lord, I don't get it. I don't have the attributes that are needed, but I trust you. And obviously, God used him in an amazing way. And when we forget about ourselves and focus on others, two things happen. Other people are actually helped. And our own sense of self-worth is enhanced because we realize God can really use me in spite of where I am. And because of where I am, he can use me. And so what I hear the Lord saying to Moses, when Moses said, who am I? He said, he promised two things. One, I will be with you. And second, you'll have success when you do what I called you to do. I'll be with you, and you'll have success when you do what I've called you to do. And to me, that brings tremendous peace for our lives. We all have challenges in our life, but we can expect that whether we're in the first third, the second third, or the last third of our lives, that the Lord still has a plan and a purpose for us. I want to close with this passage from Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. I love this. When you go out to battle against your enemies, now, some of those battles are not on the street. Some of those battles are here. When you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt is with you. And this was spoken to the Israelites after Moses had led them. They still faced battles, but the word of the Lord was, I'll be with you, and you'll have success when you do what I called you to do. And to me, that works for us. As we go forward, no matter what tomorrow holds, walking out our convictions, we can expect that the Lord will be with us as a church and as individuals to have success in what he's called us to do. And it's going to be different for each one of us. But God is that great and that powerful that he can do that. So I encourage you to rest in that understanding. You may not hear the Lord speaking through a burning bush. I heard him through the voice of my brother. He can speak in many different ways in our lives through many different circumstances. Let's arise and share together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you.
prayers of the people this morning are Form 5, which can be found on page 7 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own petitions, either silently or aloud. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We ask your prayers for health and recovery for our Advent family, for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, George, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Michael, Bill, Judy, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, for Friends of Advent, Tony, the Eliza Jennings folks, Sylvia, Jack, and Trevor. For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord, our God.
Please join me in the following prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us.
Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral
encouragement you have provided us in this season.
We are grateful for our lay leadership and their shouldering of extra burdens.
Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Meckes. Pete. Hey, Pete.
I'm here. Good morning. Gentlemen of Advent, it is time to gather again. We are going to gather at BJ's Restaurant and Grill at Great Northern Shopping Center, on April 8th at 6:30. Time for good conversation, good fellowship, good food. That's what we're going to do.
Good. All right. The bulletin has a form for you to fill out if you'd like to order spring flowers or Easter lilies for Easter. We have a couple Sundays left before you lose out. So if you so choose, $10 per thank offering or a memory offering. I'd like us to do a little prayer right now. I was touched by Paul's sermon about the difficulties in our lives. I was struck this morning by the collect. You know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. There are struggles in our congregation with employment, with finances, with health. And I would especially like to lift up this morning those who are struggling with cancer. We have a parish family who requests that their privacy be respected. There will be a major operation tomorrow for pancreatic cancer. And so let's just think about those circumstances in our own lives and in the lives of other people where we can't help ourselves, only the Lord can help us. Let's pray. Father, we beg that you hear us this morning as we intercede for others. We pray, Lord, that you bring healing, you bring finances, you bring employment, you bring spiritual health, physical health, mental health. Lord, be with those caregivers who administer care and those who receive care. Lord, you are powerful, you are all-knowing, you have all the strength and grace to heal, to comfort, to bring hope. We pray for your grace now in the lives of each person in this Advent family who's struggling with life's circumstances. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's take a moment now as we prepare to present our offerings to the Lord and prepare for the Lord's Supper.
Jerusalem, my destiny, though I cannot
Just a 10-second thought before we continue. Beautiful offertory about our destiny. Yes, we have a destiny in the clouds, but we also have a destiny to fulfill here during our life. God bless you as we go for that in a way that will bring others to know who Jesus is in a personal, powerful way. Let's continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. I invite you to come and receive what the Lord has provided for us. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Folks, I think we'll end it there.
Say what?
Bruce, I have a call for the last verse. Why don't you give it to him? Folks, go forth with enthusiasm as you depart in peace to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let's see.
Ready?